Welcome to the Fabric Podcast. We've been reflecting on enough as a community these last several weeks, and this week we get to explore the idea of success. How do you know when you've made it? When it's good enough? When you've tried enough, worked enough, done enough? Well, here's Greg Meyer with his thoughts on enough success.
The news is full of reports of the successful and of those who fail, haven't been successful. It's easy to beat up on this idea of success by thinking only about people who want to be rich or famous or powerful, but that's a straw horse. We know that it's the wrong thing to chase. Life is about more important things, right? Yet, we all kind of want it badly, at least the honest among us. Well, maybe that's not true for you. Maybe you've heard too much about the destroyed lives, the hectic schedules, the hedonism, the drugs and alcohol, the lack of privacy from the paparazzi, the relationships torn apart by wealth. Gee, we just heard this week that Bill and Melinda Gates are divorcing after 27 years. Maybe that has warned you off from such superficial success. Maybe. I am, I believe, deep down in my heart of hearts, thankful not to have that burden of wealth, fame, and power. But in my not-so-deep-down heart of hearts, where I, for better or worse, end up spending a lot of my time, I sure wish I had a little more success and a shot at handling all those goodies that go along with it. I'll be honest, there's a side of me that regularly doesn't feel like I have enough success. For me to say that I don't want to be successful, even in what I know is a cheap, shallow, and selfish way, would be a lie. And this is more important, there is a sense in which I deep down want to be successful. And I believe it is very important that I do all I can to be it. So let me summarize that last couple of minutes of blathering on with this simple statement. Cheap success is seductive, and real success is important. So are you ready for this one? It is week 5 of Enough, and we are on the road to enough success. And let me start out by saying, success is not a bad thing. Success is a good thing. Whatever enough success is poking at, well, it certainly isn't a certain level of success. Like, you know, it's okay to become a middle manager, but if you hit the executive level, then you cross the line. Or it's okay if people know you and look up to you in your neighborhood or in your town or city if they aren't too big, but beyond that, you're too successful. No, that's playing games with what enough success is all about. Recognizing that climbing the ladder of fame and fortune isn't the answer to what life is all about does not translate into an endorsement of mediocrity. I mean, which one of you parents of teens, upon seeing a C on your high school student's report card, want to hear them tell you, well, you know, I could have gotten an A, but I was afraid I'd start thinking I'm good at it, and then that I was better than everyone else, and pretty soon I'd turn into Hitler and want to conquer the world. No, that's not where we want to go with this. It isn't whether you are successful or not. It is what success means to you and what it is that you want to be successful at, right? If you're clear about those two questions, and it's harder than it sounds, then you might be able to start figuring out what enough of that success might mean for you. So let's do that. Here are two questions, and like week one, pause this podcast, and if possible, get a piece of paper and something to write with, and make two lists. If you're driving or whatever and you can't do that, then just pause the recording and think about your answers. Write them down later or talk about them to your group. Yeah, we've got lots of groups of 5 to 12 people in Fabric who meet weekly or bi-weekly, and you're welcome to be in one of them. You don't even have to live in the Twin Cities areas to do it. Just let us know. Okay, here are the two questions. Number one, what is your definition of success? And number two, what do you want to be successful at? Take a couple minutes, and I'll see you right back here. Great. Welcome back. I know you'll spend some great quality time working on those two lists, so thank you. Now, with those thoughts about what success means to you and what you want to be successful at in mind, how are you doing? Is what you came up with merely the definition and type of success that you have in your mind, or are they really the success that you are chasing? As you mull that over, let's hear Eric C. Bisma's thoughts about enough success. Eric takes us a long way down the road.
Greg invited me to share some personal thoughts about enough, as others have in the last few weeks. And having listened to those podcasts, I was immediately concerned that my attempt here was not going to be successful enough. And that brings us to this week's theme, defining success for ourselves and the definition of enough success. I did look at a few dictionary definitions of success, and one popular version is that success is the attainment of wealth, respect, or fame. And we hear about this sort of success in conversations all the time. For instance, well, she's a lawyer. Oh, really? And is she successful? Oh, yes, she's very successful. Oh, that's wonderful. Or perhaps, you know, he started his own business and, well, he's been very successful. I suppose my own personal experience growing up was that my father was an accomplished surgeon, and he saved hundreds of people's lives every year for a career that spanned 40 years. Many considered him to be very successful, and I suppose that influenced how I began to evaluate my own success. It would have been a pretty high bar of success to meet if it was one with which I thought I needed to compete. Maybe to cope with that, I came to believe that success can't be competing or comparing with others because it's a meaningless comparison. LeBron James, for instance, is one of the best basketball players of our generation, certainly one of the best that I've ever seen, and yet from age 16, he's been chasing the intangible goal of trying to have more success than Michael Jordan. There's always a type of one-upmanship if we look at success as comparing to someone else. A simple dictionary definition or another dictionary definition of success is just achieving a goal that I want to accomplish. But you can't just have any goal. It has to have some good associated with it, right? So what sort of good should I be after? As most people get older, and probably as I get older, the type of wealth or reputational successes that we might have wanted will seem much less important to us than the time that we have left in our life, the relationships that we have in our life, and then the quality of those relationships. Relationships with our friends, parents, children, those tend to be the things that we feel the most joy about, and sometimes the most pain or sorrow about if we didn't try as hard as we think we should have tried. We also should form relationships with people or causes that need our help. Maybe having enough success is just taking the time and the resources that we have and sharing it with people and causes that we love. And then much better, to try to love more people or causes than we already do. Enough success requires hard work, whether it be volunteering, working diligently for your employer or your own business, whether it be parenting or just investing in being a good friend. Enough success will also mean balancing those things in different proportion on different days of the week in your life. Enough success will probably be exhausting, but it will be the good type of exhausting. It's the exhaustion and the driving passion behind it that may give you your own confidence of having found enough of it.
Thank you, Eric. You gave us a couple of definitions of success that probably echoed some of what we all wrote and helped us see the importance and complexity of success. Jesus never analyzed the subject, but he did speak of it often. He was clear that success in terms of finding our happiness or security through it wasn't going to work. Here's an example. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. Do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying. Or, another example, a little bit more grimly, Jesus told a parable about a rich man whose crops were abundant. So he tore down all his old barns to build bigger, newer ones, and then says to himself, "Soul, you have laid up more than enough to provide for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you." Now, to be clear, God is not punishing the man for his success, just reminding us what our success can and can't do. Which doesn't mean success is not a good thing. Remember Eric's second definition, accomplishing something important to you. That's a good thing, and a complex one. Well, Eric was wise enough to realize that his dad's success is his dad's success and doesn't need to be replicated or competed against. He also knew that his dad's success was significant. The fact that he was good at what he did made a huge difference in other people's lives. And he acknowledged that even the right kind of success, healthy success, requires hard work, a lot of it. I'm very thankful that many people in my life had a vision for and put in the effort to be successful at what they did because it made an extraordinary difference in my life. Teachers who studied, practiced, and refined their skills, staying up late, going over the work we did in class that day and getting ready for the next day classes, I can still name almost every one of them. I can picture everyone. My parents, my mentors, then all those people who dreamed up and made things that I relied on throughout my life. People who largely are unknown to me, but who created stuff like bikes and houses, who planted orchards to grow apples, or built labs to invent and manufacture vaccines. I'm glad they chased those goals and worked hard enough to be successful at them. Yeah, there's that word enough again. When have you worked hard enough at your goals, what you've chosen to be successful at? And when have you worked too hard, invested too much, more than enough, and missed the balance or the purpose of your endeavor? Jesus, again. He not only warned us against striving for success in what doesn't matter, he also called us to strive for success in what does matter. The word sacrifice comes to mind. If anyone wants to become my follower, that is, be about what I am about, be successful in creating the world that God sees, let them deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me. And then there are the many versions of whoever wants to be first must be last and servant of all. I can't imagine being at least a little bit successful at two of the most important goals in my own life, that is being a father and building this community fabric, without a lot of hard work and sacrifice. How do we know when we've got the balance right? You've denied yourself enough, worked hard enough, sacrificed enough to make what is possible happen, but not turned into the zealot who thinks they can save the world by just giving up a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. Where is the balance? How do you know when you've got it right? Well, the answer is, I don't know. I mean, being successful enough, even in the noblest of endeavors, is never an exact science. I do know that it's easy to fail at life by succeeding at an endeavor, however. So just to justify recording this podcast, let me offer a couple of questions that might help navigate these treacherous waters of enough sacrifice and enough success. The first is this: whose benefit? Is this all about you? Is your hope for success only profiting you? Now, that might sound nice and tidy. If your success is for your benefit, it's bad, but if it's for others, then it's okay. Yeah, not so simple. If it is only for you and no one else shares in it, that sounds a little sketchy, but I'm not sure we aren't supposed to enjoy this world and benefit from our efforts. In fact, if your efforts only feel like sacrifice, if you aren't finding any satisfaction, delight, or fulfillment in it, that's a problem. Some wings of the religious world subscribe to the medicine has to taste bad to be good for you idea. I don't. I don't sense that Jesus did either. It can be, maybe should be, a two-way street. When Chris and I moved to a remote outstation in Papua New Guinea as a young couple with our two-month-old daughter, we were puzzled by all the people who thought we were so wonderful and self-sacrificial and being willing to leave everything to go live there and do the work that we were going to do. We were puzzled because we saw it as the adventure of a lifetime and could hardly believe someone would support us so that we could go do it. And we felt like we were the ones gaining from it. We just hoped we wouldn't muck things up too much for the people that we'd be living with. Hopefully, we were in this for the right reason, for the people we went to serve. But there was no doubt that if this was medicine, well, it tasted a lot like chocolate. So, who does your success benefit? It's a good question to ask as you start chasing enough success. Another question is this: what type of success is it? On the one hand, is this the success of achievement and acquisition, material wealth and goods, power, prestige, fame? You know, and don't demonize these. They play important roles in this world, and like the first question asks, who's going to benefit from them? Wealth can be put to work. Power can be wielded for good. Prestige and fame fall in people's laps sometimes. It isn't only that you have them or not, but what you do with them. Nonetheless, if you're trying to find enough through these types of success, it is probably not going to work. These will fulfill you because they flow from you, not because they feed you. Hang on to that thought. We'll be picking it up a little bit later. Now, that's one kind of success. Another is this. Is the success that you seek the kind that flows from carefully chosen values? Does it key into passions that spring from you? Does it reinforce a personal sense of integrity rather than undermine it? Now, you don't have to be an activist, a parent, a teacher, nurse, or social worker to claim this kind of status. Being the best boss you can be, providing the best food and experience at your restaurant, the best product through your business. If it is something that the world needs, then we need people who try to be the best form of successful at it. And this doesn't only apply to your career. In fact, your career is only one small data point in the sea of your impact on the world in which you are asked to pick up your cross and follow me. Theologians, philosophers, and social architects have talked about this as vocation, a sense of calling to something higher through all that we do in life. Now, these kinds of goals all sound noble. You might wonder, how can I possibly go wrong chasing them? And unfortunately, the answer is easily. At least, I know I can. Sure, these deeply held, personal, altruistic, value-laden pursuits are all good, but how do I understand enough in terms of them? When have I loved my children enough? When have I become a great teacher enough? When have I made my restaurant or my job as a server at that restaurant good enough? There's always more to do, a better version of what you've worked so hard to do already. There are a number of reasons why we end up feeling we've not done enough and may give up trying. One is that success like this is often intangible and invisible. You can look for ways to measure impact, but it's just signs or shadows of what you're really trying to do. How do you measure that your children are growing up to be kind and resourceful, good citizens? Does your restaurant get glowing reviews because it provides truly amazing experiences that fulfill people's lives, or because your restaurant is the cool place to go and everyone projects that onto you so that they can be cool too? Do the people you have impacted ever bother to tell you so that you know the effect you've had? Just think how many lives you've touched and have no idea. Just think how many people have touched your life for the better and they have no idea. Maybe you should tell them. One of the reasons we miss the satisfaction of our efforts is that its success is intangible and invisible to us. And then there is the span of time issue. I want to see that I'm making a difference now. Sorry, doesn't work that way. My impact on that other person or the good I do for an ecosystem may not be evident for a decade. If you need to see your intentions actualized before you can declare enough, you may never find it. It can't be the finished product that will give you the assurance that you have succeeded enough, but that you have done the best you can, even if it wasn't perfect, your best job ever, or quite what you hoped. Sorry to inform you, but you live in a real world, and that's how things happen. And you are still enough. Okay, first, who benefits from the success? Second, what type of success is it? And finally, who pays the cost? That's right. Success is not only hard work, it comes at a cost. And who pays it? Well, when it comes to paying the cost to reach a goal, what is enough or too much gets very, very real, especially if it isn't you paying it. If your goal is a corporate ladder and you're pulling 12 to 14-hour days, you probably feel like you are sacrificing a lot, and you probably think you are doing it for your family. And by the way, they should appreciate that you're doing this for them, right? But do you know what they're experiencing? a parent, a partner who's missing. You think your striving is creating a credit in your account with them, but it's actually a withdrawal from those closest to you, emotionally and in terms of the quality of their lives, something the extra income will never be able to offset. Being a pastor, it's easy for me to always put the needs of the community ahead of my family's or of my own. And if that isn't enough, starting this community took more than I and many others could possibly give. We were all striving to create something that we felt called to, something important, good for the world. But at what cost, and who's paying it? I've always worked hard to remember that my family was my first calling, my first priority, and I've tried to coach others to recognize that for themselves, and that the community would never be any healthier than we were ourselves. But I can't say I've always lived that out very well. You know those compromises in your life too. Like Eric said, it's a balance issue, and the balance often has to shift, even daily. So who's paying the cost of your success? In a much starker and tragic way, it's clear that the United States achieved a lot of success through the hard work of the people who immigrated here. But how much more of the cost was paid through the sacrifice of black bodies brought here as slaves? Unpaid, non-voluntary, imprisoned labor used to drive the wheels of enterprise. How much of this nation's success was paid by the sacrifice of the lives and the land of the indigenous people who already lived here? Free land for the taking? Really? Someone paid that cost. Without that free labor and free land, the same success would not have been possible here. This country would look much different than it does today. I wish that we had taken the chance to discover that kind of success, one that acknowledged the limits of what was right and fair to do. Going forward, we can choose our success more wisely. The truth is that not every success is possible. In fact, do you realize that while there are many things you can be successful at, you cannot be successful at everything? And to be healthy with the success that you do have, you have to limit your success. Limits. Surprise, you've got limits. Limits to what you can achieve. Limits to what you should try to achieve. Limits are part of enough. Can you recognize and receive them gracefully? Or will they always taunt you, aggravate you, leave you hungry for what you haven't achieved, evidence that you haven't done enough yet? What if your limits are not evidence of a dead end, but a sign telling you to look around you for other opportunities, other parts of your life that need you to re-engage them? You can be successful at many things, but not everything, remember? And what if your limits are a sign to look around for help? Do you really think that you are supposed to be able to accomplish your goals alone, or that you are the only one with that goal? Do you really believe that success is something you do, not that we do? Maybe your limits are a gift, reminding you to discover who you can team up with and what they are doing. Celebrate your limits. They give you breathing room. They remind you to accept yourself for who you are, not the superhero image that you've created. They also remind you to step back and take a second look at what you define success to be in your life, and then what enough of that is. My guess, my experience, is that enough success is a lot bigger and more wonderful than we think it is, and it's a lot simpler than we make it. But until we hit those limits, until we realize the cost may not be worth the sacrifice by whoever's paying it, that the harder we work, the further away and less satisfying it seems to get, until then, we forget to look close at hand, deep in our hearts, for the greatest successes of all. When Jesus said, "Unless you become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven," he wasn't talking about getting into some paradisical afterlife by being childish. He was inviting us to glimpse the delight and wonder, dream the dreams, grasp the enoughness of the world that God sees right here, right now. The way children do before their heads and hearts are distracted with ambitions and measurements and comparisons, things not of their hearts. Sarah Sevcek Tumala has shaped fabric for a long time with her strength, her yearning for more of what matters, and wisdom beyond her years. And she's still learning. Sevcek.
As a high achiever and I would call a recovering perfectionist, I found that for most of my life, if I really worked hard enough at something, or frankly just gave up because I didn't feel like it was good enough, such as trying to learn new languages or actually becoming very good at the piano, I've been able to really achieve success. So at times, I've adapted my definition of success to meet my emotional, academic, or career needs, but in general, I feel like I've been able to achieve success when I put my time, energy, intellect, and heart into something. But then when I got pregnant in the fall of 2019, that word enough kept popping up, not just in my head, but also spoken out loud by many others. First, it was probably the more common thoughts to-be parents often have, such as, will I still be able to get enough sleep after baby is born? Will I still have enough time and energy to be involved in the community and other things that are important to me? And will we have enough emotional, financial, etc. resources to provide the best for this baby? The shift came at week 8 of pregnancy with a miscarriage scare. We were at the emergency department and I was told that my baby was measuring about 2 weeks earlier than we had calculated. And the enough questions began. Are you taking good enough care of yourself? Are you resting enough? Are you exercising enough? Over the next 5 months, it felt like whatever I did or didn't do just wasn't enough to keep my baby healthy. With each appointment and ultrasound, we just kept hearing worse news. Our baby wasn't big enough. Our baby wasn't getting enough nutrients. Our baby wasn't getting enough oxygen. Our baby wasn't getting enough blood. Our baby's bones weren't going to be strong enough for her to survive. I followed every plan and advice put before me, but no matter what I did, it wasn't enough to keep our daughter growing well. Thankfully, Audrica, born at just over 2 pounds, was strong enough to survive, and she didn't end up having a condition in which her bone collapsed. But for most of her first 6 to 9 months of life, she wasn't thriving at all. And yes, one of her clinical diagnoses is failure to thrive. Again, no matter what we tried, nothing seemed to work. For a while in the NICU, I started to feel like I was failing Audrica. For example, we tried really hard to breastfeed and we were very much pushed into doing so, but Audrica really wasn't strong enough to do it without having what they called medical spells. And so I decided I wanted to stop trying because my gut felt like something was just wrong. Some people reacted as though I didn't try hard enough or again wasn't doing enough for my daughter. Side note, this was an important lesson for me in listening to my gut. No one at the time knew that Audrica had a heart defect and she was also silently aspirating and the breastfeeding was actually making things worse. I had picked up a lot of reading material about what it's like to raise babies and learn about child development, but everything I read about children and parenting only further made me feel like I was not enough. So I went to Facebook and asked the Facebook community if they would be willing to share the quote, big picture kinds of things that I should know about development, so I wouldn't actually have to look at any more reading material, but still not miss out on, like, the very important things. And I'll never forget a post that a well-meaning friend wrote in which he said, as long as your baby is eating, pooping, and growing, you're doing all you need to do. I sobbed. Once again, not enough. The thing was, our baby wasn't doing any of those things. She wasn't taking in enough food. It was like a war every time we tried to give her a bottle. She hated eating. She was losing weight. And for months, she literally could not poop on her own without intervention. So in the very literal sense, she was not getting enough, whether she was inside me or outside in the world. Now we're in a very different place. Audrica is still a medically complex special needs baby. She gets her nutrition almost solely by feeding tube, and she's quote, super behind on all of her developmental milestones. Her cousin, in fact, who is 4 months younger than her, is just light years ahead in nearly all the ways. And Audrica is just over 1 year old. But we have now completely shifted our view of what is enough. We've learned that we have been strong enough, and we have been loving enough, and our family is enough, and we are enough, and Audrica is enough. We know that all children do in their own time, and we really don't worry about prescribed milestones as much. And we just try to focus in on all the joy that Audrica's development is in her own time. A fellow NICU mom told me, these NICU babies are strong, spicy, and they give us the gift of appreciation and patience. And when we go through the days when we have to take steps back in progress, which is often, actually, we know it's okay, that it really is enough. Having Audrica has helped as do the important work of not caring so much about where we're at compared to others. And instead of putting too much stock into what others, actually, especially healthcare providers, say is, quote, enough, we really just look to Audrica for strength. And when we do, it is always enough.
Thank you, Sevcik. What is enough success for her and her partner in Audrica? How much would they lose if only the prescribed form of success could be enough for them? And how do we learn things like this? How do we learn not to ask for more to have enough, and instead recognize that what is more than enough is right in our arms already? How do we not ask for more when there is real reason to worry and wish for an easier life for Audrica, for instance? An oft-quoted line from the Bible that's attributed to Jesus by the writer of Acts says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." If you remember last week's podcast, you might rewrite that question. One is more likely to find enough through giving than through receiving. Yeah, I think so. There is a hint there about where and how we find enough success. Each week we have had a big question here about what enough is and our vain attempts at filling a hole within ourselves that we imagine means we aren't enough, can't have enough, or do enough. The big question that I'll leave you with today as you define what success is for you and consider what it is that you want to be successful at is this. What if you fulfilled yourself by pouring out, not in? What if you fulfilled yourself by pouring out, not in? What if it weren't a competition? How much do I dare give others and still have enough for myself? Instead of a competition, it's mutual. What if I discovered that it was in being successful for you, being successful for others, being successful for the world, that I finally discovered enough success, blessed success, for myself as well? Enough is a crazy labyrinth that's easy to get lost in. Define it for yourself. Choose the enough that is meaningful and fulfilling for you, the real you. Because if you don't, it will make you do and be and have things that don't matter, and do it at the expense of what does. And you matter. You're enough.
For this conversation to have all the richness it could, share this podcast with a friend and find discussion resources at fabricmpls.com. We always love hearing from you through our contact page or on social media. And if you want to share those more personal thoughts about enough and what it is in your life, email those directly to Greg at enough@fabricmpls.com. It's worth this quick reminder that who you are is enough. We may not often feel it, but that's part of the reason we do this together. Life woven deeply.